This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Hey, it's another edition of Talking Fußball, the Bundesliga show, your source for all things German football. I'm your host, Matt Herman, and this week, everything's a little bit impromptu. This show might have had another cast if we had had things go according to plan, but instead, I have nabbed someone who will be familiar to you from not only last week, but years past, one of the top guests that we have on the show. He is, in between putting his son down to bed and getting ready for work. It's Nick Wildhagen. He is in Stavanger, Norway. He is really putting up with this podcast's existence in a really admirable way. It's great to have you back.
It's great to be back. Not oftentimes it's not often that I'm available at such short notice, but this time I was, and I'm quite happy to be here, to be honest.
You know, everything is still in the balance in the Bundesliga. I mean, this is as we sort of were thinking to ourselves, you know, somewhat tentatively last week. It was the first time in a very long time since we've gone into the final match day of the season with something to play for in the title race. And in fact, I got confirmation of that. Read that it's the first time in 10 years, first time since that 09 season that this has gone down.
That is right. Which, it makes it all the more exciting. But then again, Bayern have a somewhat easy match against Eintracht Frankfurt, who look like they're falling apart. So don't have too much high hopes. But those last match days in the Bundesliga, they do have sort of a crazy way of being really unpredictable, haven't they?
Oh, yes, they do. And we're going to love the whip around show that will take place. I think not only on, German Konferenz style, but some of the other broadcasters. I know last season, Fox Sports and some others showed a sort of English language whip around show, and I think that could be a must watch on the last weekend of the Bundesliga. Anyway, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we will be talking all about the new wrinkles in the title race, the Eintracht Frankfurt's season kind of taking a turn for the worst in the past week, as well as how things have gone in a sort of bigger picture sense for the Bundesliga this season, because I think we can start drawing some conclusions. Anyway, be right back. All right, here is part one of Talking Fußball, the part where we talk about the best of the match day. This match day this weekend was match day 33. You know, as we made reference in last week's pod, this is one of those match days that, the good fellows at, ladies and fellows at the German Football League in Frankfurt conveniently schedule all the games at once, just for added drama, for, a little bit less, perhaps, strategic results skullduggery. This was, I think, thrown a little bit for a loop by the fact that Frankfurt were participating in the second leg of their Europa League semifinal, and they were allowed to play their game on Sunday instead of Saturday. But there were a lot of crazy storylines, a lot of moving targets happening on Saturday at, 3:30 in the afternoon on to about 5:20 German time. I think the biggest among them, we'd have to agree, is the fact that we still do have a title race. The fact that Bayern dropped points. They could do no more than draw away to RB Leipzig. They had a somewhat controversially disallowed goal pretty late on in that game. And Dortmund did everything they could to draw points against Dusseldorf, but somehow in the end got a 3-2 win. It was a bumpy ride for them, though. I mean, what's your take on all this? This was a crazy turn of events, I thought, in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, those 98 minutes that were played in Dortmund were definitely crazy, with Fortuna Düsseldorf getting so many chances to really hurt Dortmund, and they didn't take enough of them, really. And on the other side, we had Bayern, who had that offside goal disallowed, which sent Uli Hoeneß into a rage. He thought that the decision was ridiculous. He called it the joke of the year. But, that VAR technology that we talked about last week, it really came good there, because there was an offside position. Yes, it was by a few centimeters. But at the end of the day, any offside decision that is wrong, even if it's just about a few centimeters or millimeters or whatever, is still a clear-cut wrong decision. And that's what VAR is here for. And, that was an example of VAR actually working perfectly in my book. So, yeah, we got a bit of added drama through VAR decisions that were correct, that really only Uli Hoeneß objected to. And then we had Dortmund, you know, with Marvin Hitz coming in, making a blunder, and Düsseldorf missing so many chances, the last of them in the 98th minute. I think it was Rahman who had a free header on goal there. Absolutely incredible that the title race is still alive, because as you said, Dortmund did an awful lot to drop points, but they somehow managed to pull through.
Yeah, and I really feel like Dortmund are sort of running on fumes at this point. I mean, they have been without Marco Reus for the last two games. They will get him back for the final game of the season, you know, against his old club, Borussia Mönchengladbach. They've had to rely on, you know, the likes of the forgotten man, Christian Pulisic, to get goals for them, who got a very nice send-off from the Dortmund fans, who clearly do think a lot of him, despite the fact that he's not really been a pretty active or valuable asset to the team this season. And, you know, there's still a chance that things could go well.
I mean, just wait a couple of years and Sorg will buy him back for half of what Chelsea paid for, probably. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Bayern still they still have to take a point against Frankfurt. Frankfurt are still running for a Champions League spot, but so are Gladbach. So out of the two sides, I think that Borussia Dortmund might just have the more trickier fixture on paper on the last match day.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as we still have some excitement at 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, that's more than any of us really could hope for at the start of the season.
Yeah, and it's been amazing in the last two or three weeks how many of, I don't know, sort of, how many of the storylines that we were all sort of counting on coming to some sort of fruition have taken one more turn than any of us expected. Most of us thought that Bayern would have had the title sewn up by now. I think a lot of people thought that, you know, Gladbach were probably not going to make it into the Champions League. They'd, you know, dropped a whole lot of points in the second half of the season and had sort of played themselves out of contention. And then suddenly they're starting to pick up points. Now they have the inside track over the likes of Leverkusen, Frankfurt, Wolfsburg, etc. I mean, and Frankfurt, you know, this team who's been the sort of team of destiny for so much of this season, both playing themselves into the top four, getting themselves into the you know, last four of the Europa League, are now just limping across the finish line. I mean, I take your point that I think form would suggest that Gladbach are going to be the tougher opponent than is Frankfurt, you know, for the two championship hopefuls in Dortmund and Bayern. But, you know, we've seen these storylines take a turn and another turn and another turn and another turn, and I would not be surprised to see them take one more.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope so. I mean, the you know, the last match day of the season, it always produces crazy stories. I mean, we had that storyline from 2001 that we mentioned on the last episode.
True.
Where Patrick Anderson scored his only free kick goal, or his only goal for Bayern München ever, and secured them the championship in the 94th minute in a match against HSV. Club that I'm sure we're going to talk about in a little while, because there really hasn't been an awful lot more to talk about in the Bundesliga. Maybe some Europa League action that are still up in the air, but other than that, everything seems to be, you know, done and dusted for most teams in the league.
Yeah, yeah, I think we might as well sort of start to talk about those issues of Hamburger Sportverein, as well as some other things happening in the second division or the bottom of the first. I mean, there's no suspense anymore as to what's happening as far as the drop. I mean, Hannover and Nuremberg, they're both gone. Stuttgart will be the team playing in the relegation playoff game against sort of a team to be named later. I mean, Cologne is as good as up. They have already, you know, earned promotion into the first division.
They've secured the championship in the Bundesliga too, actually, yeah.
Indeed, indeed. And either Paderborn or Union Berlin will be the team in the relegation playoff spot representing the second division. Hamburg, who, if they had managed to get some other kind of result, they could have played themselves into that conversation as well. But Paderborn, as we sort of made reference to last week, they are the form team in the second division. And they, you know, they bossed Hamburg around. And it looked like a just decision that Hamburg are not going to go back up and that Paderborn have a very good chance to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Paderborn against HSV was a good match for the first 45 minutes with, you know, Hamburg coach Hannes Wolf making numerous changes to his team. But then things started to fall apart for HSV in the second half. And I mean, that's sort of been the story of the second part of the season for them, really. They were on top of the table during the winter. to break with 39 points, and now they've only taken 16 points in the Rückrunde, which makes them the third worst team in the Bundesliga 2. Only Greuther Fürth and the already relegated side MSV Duisburg have done worse. Ironically, Hamburg are actually having a top Zuschlag for the tickets for next weekend's match against MSV Duisburg, who are already relegated. The most expensive ticket for that dreadful match ahead is actually €85, which for Bundesliga 2 prices is really a big ask.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with this top Zuschlag concept, this basically means that this is an A-class fixture or what have you, because MSV Duisburg is such a sexy opponent that when you want to get the fans in, you want to really milk them for every euro that they're worth, or something.
Well, I mean, probably the guys who were in charge of planning for the ticket prices for that match thought, well, we might have a promotion final on our hands here. But obviously Hamburg are now 3 points behind Union Berlin in third. They have to make up a goal difference of plus 21.
Exactly.
So unless Union loses by 13 goals and HSV really trounces MSV Duisburg, we don't have much to talk about here, have we?
Yeah, unless the referee is named Hoitza, I think we can rule that out.
Well,
he doesn't favor Hamburg.
He doesn't. Maybe he wants to make it up to them. I don't know if he comes back, but yeah. So there's not an awful lot to talk about here. And HSV, I mean, talk about that. That old chestnut of having a rebuilding year in Bundesliga 2. It's really not a great idea for clubs because, financially speaking, it's much worse to play in that league. And additionally, in Hamburg's case, all the problems about, that crazy investor, Hans-Michael Kühne, who basically keeps the club alive by infusions of money that the club desperately needs. He goes wild in the press every time things go, every time the shit hits the fan, and he goes wild at demanding that coaches be sacked, that players be sold, that other players be bought. I mean, it's completely chaos. And on top of that you have players on huge salaries like Papadopoulos, Holtby, Pierre-Michel Lasogge. And these guys really should have brought this team back up. But in the end of the day, the club told them, nah, we don't want you anymore. We want to start a radical change. And, having that sort of atmosphere create within the team for the second half of the season really hasn't helped them an awful lot. And, some of the younger players really seemed not capable of dealing with the situation. The coach seemingly didn't know what to do. He just changed around his personnel, like Paris Hilton was changing boyfriends in the early 2000s. And at the end of the day, that was a toxic mix. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody had any solutions. And Hamburg really showed how dysfunctional a club they can be.
Yeah. I think I take your point that the idea that going down to the second division is not the sort of cure that, dysfunctional clubs are going to necessarily get out of bed and start walking around from. You just have to think that maybe, if they didn't learn anything from the experience of going down, maybe they'll learn something from the experience of blowing, the Wieder Aufstieg again. It's very hard to determine because from where I'm sitting, which is obviously quite a ways away from Hamburg, I don't know how many miles or kilometers, but it's a lot. They don't seem to have learned a lot. This certainly still seems to be a club that has the too many cooks problem, has too many people who think that they have a say in things, and there's not a sort of a clear line about where the club is going to go. I mean, they clearly chose a coach who had the sort of pedigree that they thought was going to, give them a blueprint of where they wanted to go, which is to say, Hannes Wolf was the coach who coached Stuttgart in the second division and got them, to a very, very easy promotion, largely on the back of young players. And they wanted to basically duplicate that blueprint. And it seems to me that they did show a certain, uncharacteristic restraint in keeping Hannes Wolf around as long as they did, considering the results were alarmingly bad through most of the second half of the season. And it's actually kind of disappointing to me that, I'm not above HSV Schadenfreude. I mean, it's a club that is clearly insane and, does not exactly endear itself to neutral fans. But it is a club that's important for the Bundesliga. I mean, it's, you know, it's probably naturally the fourth or fifth biggest club in the Bundesliga, if not bigger. And it's disappointing to me that they tried, at least on in some superficial sense, to approach this, you know, second division experience in quote unquote the right way, which is to say, hire a good young coach, trust your young players, and, you know, hope that that sort of head of steam puts you back into the first division with some sort of semblance of good feeling. And the fact that that method didn't work, it worries me that they're now going to go down a lot of stupid roads in terms of, you know, I could see them reaching out for the likes of Felix Magath or some sort of fossilized fool from their past just to, you know, kind of, you know, get deeper and deeper into their self-mythology.
Well, I mean, you know how Felix Magath got the job at Wolfsburg, right?
Tell me.
He was actually interviewing for the sporting director position, and when the board asked him, who do you see as the best candidate to take over as a coach? His immediate answer was, me. And I think that is always going to be Felix Magath's immediate answer when he's asked about advice, who should take over a club. I mean, listen, they do have a lot of housekeeping to do. They are going to ship out a number of players on high salaries. And this second year is really going to show whether or not they are going to be able to maybe get a young, exciting team in the Bundesliga too that plays with gusto and that has a coach that, you know, makes them play attractive football, the sort of football that the fans want. I mean, at this stage, I think all Hamburg's fans want is that they want to have a team that puts up a fight on the pitch every week in the Bundesliga too, because what they've seen in the Rückrunde has really, in a sense, topped a lot of the crap they had to go through in the last 4 or 5 years of the club's existence in the Bundesliga. So that's going to be a huge task, especially at a club like Hamburg. And, you know, their sporting director, Ralf Becker, who really has his work cut out for himself, especially now that, you know, the aforementioned investor, Kühne, has been out in the press and demanded that Hads should be rolling.
Yep. I've already seen the headlines today of Kühne, you know, saying, I told you so, about Hannes Wolf to various journalists on background. It's getting very ugly.
He said a lot of other things that haven't come true. I mean, Torsten Fink, who actually was the last coach who got somewhat decent results with Hamburg. He was fired after 4 or 5 match days in the Bundesliga after a spell of bad results, which was fairly early to pull the trigger. And he said that Hamburg is going to be a mental institution as long as Kühne is at the club.
Yeah, I think we all know what mad millionaires can do to whatever institution they find themselves with a little bit too much control over. Turning our attention, however, to some of the other teams, I mean, obviously Cologne, you know, I talked about the importance of Hamburg to the Bundesliga. I don't quite put SC FC Köln in that same category. I mean, this is a club that's been down so many times in the last, you know, decade and a half. It's begun to feel normal. But on the other hand, this is a very big club in, what, the third, fourth biggest city in Germany. It's got a pretty rabid fan base. I've been to a lot of Cologne matches. You've been to Cologne matches probably. It's fun. You know, people are fired up.
I've been to Cologne 3 or 4 times. Yeah, Cologne is a great city to watch football and drink beer. And, you know, the club is dysfunctional as hell. You know, but in the last few years, they had some periods of stability. But somehow, you know, when we all thought that finally Cologne got themselves sorted, it ended up with, you know, a lot more of the same. So this is always going to be a club that is going to be a bit unstable. But they do produce a lot of fun, both on and off the pitch. You know, knowing the club, knowing the fans, they do deserve a couple of good years in the Bundesliga.
Yep. And oddly enough, Cologne have, you know, speaking of bad second halves of the season, Cologne's second half of the season has not been particularly good either. And Cologne actually did take the step of firing their coach, Markus Anfang, who, you know, of course, was sort of the next big thing, having done great things with Holstein Kiel last season. He got his chance at a big club this season. He didn't do very well with it. And, you know, Cologne lost this past match day 5-3 to Jahn Regensburg, and then they decided they would go out and hire their coach. Achim Bayerlotzer will be coaching Cologne next season. I think that's another sort of maybe a coin flip appointment, in that this is another guy who has been you know, doing some pretty good work down in the lower divisions. But his pedigree is a bit stronger in that he was at RB Leipzig for a few years. And you know what that means? That means he's been handpicked by some of the more bright people in German football. And I think that they might have a good one on their hands.
Yeah, I'm willing to give that one a chance.
As far as the other two teams at play here, the ones that will either go straight up or be in the playoff, I'm really torn, I have to say. For reasons of more sort of like club culture, fan culture, you know, regional pride, because, you know, I am partial to Berlin. I would love to see Union go up.
Yeah, me too. Me too, absolutely. I mean, they do have the fan base. But yeah, then there's the question of Paderborn, who doesn't really have much of a fan base, don't they?
No, but they play really good football. They probably play the best football in the second division. And, you know, if they can hold on to the coach, which, of course, is, you know, we've seen, I've mentioned when I'm talking about Bayer Leverkusen and Anfang, I mean, if you do well in the second division, sometimes you don't even stay with the team that you got up with. You move on to bigger and better things. So Steffen Baumgart, the coach of Paderborn, who has really just transformed this club since joining, I guess, what, two seasons ago or something like that, he's going to be a really hot commodity. And it would be fun to see him get a tiny team like Paderborn up and keep them there to go one better than, you know, Breitenreiter did back in the day.
Breitenreiter?
But
yeah, Paderborn is a crazy story. I think we have to mention that, because what actually happened to Paderborn is that they were relegated from the third tier a couple of seasons ago. They stayed in the third tier because 1860 Munich decided to go down to the Regionalliga instead of, you know, competing in the third tier. So they stayed in the third tier. They got promoted last season from the third tier. And now they're vying for promotion again, even though they should have been in the fourth tier a couple of seasons ago. They might very well find themselves in the Bundesliga next season, which is, you know, as stories about relegation and promotion go, I think it's pretty much unprecedented within German football history, unless Uli Hesse can dig something up.
Oh, I think he maybe can.
He might just be the guy to do that, yeah.
Don't press him. Don't press him. He'll do it. All right, let's talk again about first division matters, because I think that's really where our bread and butter is, and both this show's character as well as what folks have come to know about us. Speaking of Eintracht Frankfurt, who, you know, just a few weeks ago when they were still on their, you know, scoring tear, and, you know, they were really looking good bets for qualifying for the Champions League through the league route, or if that didn't work out, through perhaps winning the Europa League, they've chosen awful time to drop the ball. I understand it had to have been super demoralizing to go out of the Europa League the way that they did. I mean, that was a match that I felt like, for them to go away to Chelsea and play themselves into you know, the point in, you know, penalties where they basically could have gone through with just a little bit of luck one way or the other, is a huge achievement for a team that, let's face it, like 5-6 years ago were in the Zweite Bundesliga and not really anything like a factor in German football, much less in European football. And with all of the good feeling that they piled up with their, you know, vaunted front three, with the, you know, sort of development of these great attacking wingbacks, that, you know, this has been probably the most exciting team in terms of like the story behind them all season. And it's looking more and more like they could blow the whole thing. I mean, they you know, lost the Europa League. If they lose to Bayern and results don't go their way in the rest of the league, they might be out of Europe entirely next season. I mean, what a disaster.
It is a disaster, judging by how the season has gone and how far up the table they have been, you might say. But on the other hand side, I don't think that a club like Eintracht was planning financially for European football the next season. I think they took this competition, the Europa League, as a huge bonus to them. And they, you know, they had a new coach at the start of the season, and that is always a gamble. Things have worked out brilliantly, but now towards the back end of the season, there are some injury niggles here and there. You know, Sebastian Allaire hasn't been playing for a couple of weeks. Last match day, Hütter had to rest a number of players because, you know, some of the players in the squad are out of juice. And, you know, it's been a very long season for them, and at the end of the day, there might just not be enough juice left in those legs. And, you know, that is what has happened to a lot of teams that have rather thin squads. Because if you look at that Eintracht Frankfurt core, there hasn't really been an awful lot of rotation. And, you know, tiring legs and, you know, a spell of bad results, they are sort of creating that vicious cycle of, you know, results not going your way every week.
Yeah, I mean, it was particularly telling, I thought, that in any other situation, I would have expected them to be able to dispatch a team like Mainz with, you know, relative ease. I mean, they've dropped points at strange times during the season, and it is also something of a derby, that game. But basically to be at home against a team that is playing for very, very little at the time when you really need to push for Europe, when you understand that there are other teams who want it very badly, it was a terrible time to let that happen, to just drop a game like that.
It was, especially given that Leverkusen dropped points against Schalke, surprisingly. So
yeah, they knew where they stood. They played a day after everybody else.
They did. So a point would have been enough for them to get back into that Champions League spot to have a chance. Or pretty much a point would have been enough to secure Europe for them. And now they're looking at the likelihood of, Hoffenheim and Wolfsburg still going past them in the table. I mean, both those clubs have fairly easy opponents. So Hoffenheim are playing Mainz, and Wolfsburg are playing Augsburg at home. And, you know, both Mainz, as we said, and Augsburg as well, they don't have anything to play for, really. So, and Bayern are up against it, against Bayern, who are chasing the seventh championship in a row, which makes it look all the more tough for them, really.
Yeah, I really worry for them, because I thought that just a couple of weeks ago, you know, when you were hearing all these, rumors about Luka Jovic being sold to Real Madrid and it was a done deal, which of course has been, you know, poo-pooed by a lot of people who have direct ties to that. But that was back when we were thinking that they were still a good bet to make the Champions League. If they don't make Europe at all, maybe you cash in on a player like that. Maybe you take the money and run.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you have to, because now he's a hot commodity. Nobody knows what's going to be in 12 months' time. I mean, he tears his cruciate ligament on the first day of the season, and you can't sell him for half of that at the end of the next season. So, there are a lot of considerations to make if Frankfurt should indeed drop out of Europe.
Oh my God, that would be a horrible, horrible outcome. Let's take a quick look through the results from the weekend. I mean, you know how they went, folks. Werder Bremen got a very important win for pride, anyway, against Hoffenheim, a team who had sort of, you know, already passed them up pretty decisively in the race for Europe. And Werder Bremen, even with that win, still not looking like strong bets.
Yeah, they have Leipzig at home, so should be a tough ask. And Hoffenheim was the superior side in that tie, but again, they didn't take their chances like we talked about last week. So there we go.
Indeed. We know about Dortmund and Dusseldorf, how that one went. Leverkusen and Schalke drew 1-1 in Leverkusen. Shocking result there, not only in terms of the way that the scoreline went, but looking at the XG, Schalke actually had the higher XG away to Leverkusen, which kind of shocks me. Stuttgart dropped Wolfsburg 3-0. That's a pretty strange result, not one that really did Wolfsburg any favors, much less Stuttgart, who had no chance to catch up to Schalke. And Hertha Berlin got a really nice 4-3 away win over Augsburg, having been down at many junctures in that game. But perhaps more importantly, the day after the game, they announced that their youth team coach, or their, you know, Hertha 2 coach, Ante Zovic, is going to be their coach next season, which is, you know, for me, kind of an anticlimax, considering they had at various times looked at, you know, sniffing around some much bigger name coaches. But if the alternative is just going out and hiring Bruno Labbadia or Peter Stöger, I am very much for it. And, you know, for the folks who know Ante Zovic, you know, within the club, and journalists who have interacted with him, and players from what they can say so far, everybody seems to really like him. He does like to play attacking football, which was one of my drawbacks about, you know, the rumors surrounding folks like David Wagner. So I'm very happy to give him a chance. It also means that the kids are going to play.
Keeps the hair to DNA alive.
Yeah, whatever the hair to DNA is, I think you know it when you see it. Yeah, I feel it. I have some hair to DNA in me, but you know, it's going to require further study to find out what exactly that means in the case of Ante Zovic. Hanover also got another throwaway win for a throwaway team. They beat Freiburg 3-0. Freiburg also kind of floundering a little bit going into the locker room of the season. Borussia Mönchengladbach 4-0 win over Nuremberg.
Yeah, Hanover actually avoided being the worst team in the Bundesliga since the three-point rule was enacted by that win. And the worst team still is Freiburg, who ended up on 18 points back in 2004, I think.
I see. Oh, so it was prophetic that they defeated Freiburg for that.
It was. So very important match in that regard, yeah. And that Gladbach one, yeah. Two goals by Josip Drmić.
My God. What is this world coming to?
The end.
The end. Okay, that is all for this edition of Talking Foosball, which was produced, as always, by Aiden Rantoul. Great to have you back after only a week's absence, which is great, Nick, or maybe even less if you consider you and Kirsten, in this case, put together a Talking Foosball extra this week. You're kind of becoming a real fixture around here. I like it.
Me too. I mean, it's been far too on and off for the last season, so hopefully you can do better next season.
Nice. I'm going to hold you to that. You can always follow Nick on Twitter at NorMusings, of course. You can hit me up over there at Mr. Matt Herman. Please do subscribe to the pod. Please do rate the pod. Please do tell your friends about the pod if they have any interest in Germany's federal league, as it were. It's really a big help. Any support you can give us, especially if you feel like subscribing to us on Patreon, where we, as I mentioned earlier, there's some Talking Foosball extra episodes. There's a lot of extended length interviews and other goodies over there. Anyway, Talking Foosball Fantasy will be back later this week with JT and Flo, so don't miss that. Bis zum nächsten Mal, yo.